several of the families here always have vegetable gardens, and they usually bring something in and set it in the foyer and say, you know, as your way out or on your way out, or as you're leaving after the assembly, you know, pick some up. And one time there was a lot of tomatoes were back there in boxes and bags, and she, you know, announced it was made, pick up tomatoes on your way out. So I was in the lobby after the service, and Debbie was there, and she leaned over and said, "Brian, aren't you glad they didn't hand out those tomatoes before you preached?" I know you remember that, because it was you. I'm not making that one up. That's not a preacher story. This is the last of the one another verses in the New Testament. It's the last two of them. So next Sunday night, Lord willing, I'm going to give you a review of all of the one another verses that we've covered. But these, I said, these are the last two that you either use the phrase something about one another or one with another, one of another, something like that. So the first one I put in the introduction is in 1 John chapter 1, verse 6, or beginning of verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. By definition, because it is fellowship here, fellowship one with another, those kinds of words that are synonymous with that would be words such as communion. We are in communion with one another. We have something that we share in common. There's communication, that word common again, even in that word communication. We are partakers, or partners is another word. Companions, associates. We are a group of people with same interests. And brotherhood. There were several other words that were used in the dictionary in the definition of fellowship. But that's what we are to have one with another. There are two phrases in this verse that I think are distinguished. One is that we have fellowship with Him, and then the second, we have fellowship one with another. The basis of fellowship with Him, meaning God and His Son Jesus, is that we walk in the light, and second, we do the truth. When we walk in the light, we walk in the counsel of God, we walk in God's favor, we walk in a godly way. We walk in the light, as God is light, in Him is no darkness at all. If we walk in, do the truth, in John 17, verse 17, Jesus said, "Sanctify them in thy truth, thy word is truth." So if we walk in truth, or we do truth, we do that which the word of God says. It's the word of God by which we abide. It's God's word that gives us rules and regulations, or gives us the determination about how we behave ourselves in our relationship with one another. And when those things are in place, we have fellowship with God, and then in consequence, we have fellowship one with another. If we walk in darkness and don't do the truth, that breaks fellowship. Breaks fellowship with God, and as a consequence, that would break fellowship with one another. We are to have these things in common, and our fellowship is with Him and with one another. So that's us. We're the one another in the verse. If we desire daily cleansing from our sins, which we do, and that's in the text. So when these two things are in place, fellowship with God and fellowshipping with one another, then as we walk in that pathway that's designed for us, then the blood of Jesus Christ continually cleanses us of all sin. And that's accomplished, again, by walking in the light and doing truth. I made a note just to go back to verse 3 of 1 John, chapter 1. Verse 3 says, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you." The message he's giving is not one he's making up. The message we received is the message we are delivering. That ye also, so here's the purpose of this message, that ye also may have fellowship with us. That's fellowship one with another. Fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Christ Jesus. Seems like they walk hand in hand. We have fellowship with God, we should have fellowship one with another. We have fellowship one with another, we should be in fellowship with God. Also in verse 4, when those things are in place, he says, these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. Ah, that's what we want. We want our joy, you know, to be in a cup that runs over. We want it to be full, you know, complete and mature. So then the second verse, where we find that the last one, or at least in my notes, the last one another phrase, in 1 Peter chapter 3, I'll begin at verse 8. It says, finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. This is King James. Be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrarywise, blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. There's about six items listed just in that verse that describe our one another relationship. First one, he says, be ye all of one mind. Dictionary definition of one mind is to be like-minded. I think it's one of the other translations. Live in harmony with one another. United. Unity of spirit. So here's, and I gave you an illustration in your notes. Here's the illustration in Philippians chapter 2, verse 2. Notice the language of the verse, or the words that Paul uses. It says, fulfill ye my joy. How are we going to do that? What's part of it? One of the ingredients. It says, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded. And then notice the synonymous words that are in that follow. Having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. When we think of what does it mean to be all of us of one mind, we are to be like-minded, same love, one or united accord, one mind. He gives an illustration of this in verse 18 of the same chapter, Philippians chapter 2, in beginning of verse 18. Here it is. For the same cause, there's that word same again, same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me, Paul says. But I trust in the Lord to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know of your state. And here's the phrase, for I have no man like-minded who, what does like-minded look like? He explains it. He goes, I'm going to send Timothy. I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. What like-mindedness looks like? Unity of spirit, who will naturally care for your state. For others are all seek their own, not the things which are Christ Jesus. So when we think about us being like-minded and this fellowship that we enjoy, part of it is that we should naturally care for each other's condition or state that we're in. Caring. We have care. We don't understand what caregivers are. No caretakers. Know that word care. So number two, compassionate. Dictionary definition. To be moved over another's distress. To suffer with another. To have mercy. To show kindness or benevolence toward another. Now, Daniel, we are not to live our Christianity in isolation. We're not to live by myself. It's not just as a song we sing, oh my God and I. We go hand in hand together. You guys, others. I don't nothing to do with you. It's just my God and I. No. It's, Christianity is an other religion. It's a religion of ministry, of service. What may I do for you? How can I help you? One illustration, Luke 15, verse 20, and you're very familiar with the story of the son who was prodigal. The Bible doesn't call him prodigal, but we understand when he says he wasted his substance in riotous living. Oh, he was, that's prodigal, oh, very wasteful. So, but when he repents himself and he decides to come back home, the phrase is in Luke 15, 20, he arose and came to his father. When he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. Couldn't wait to beat the dickens out of him. Couldn't wait to get even with his son for wasting the substance. No. Father saw him and had compassion. That's our word. Compassion. Had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. How can you do that? Of course, the illustration of the lesson is how God treats us. And then that's how God treats us is the way we are to treat one another. Compassion. Last Monday morning, January 5th, 7:15 a.m., the alert system at Betty Lawson's house telephoned our house, because I'm on that list, and it telephoned the EMTs at the same time. So I'd already left the house, so Christine telephoned me, and of course I was having coffee at McDonald's, and I said, I'll go right over there and after I get my refill. But I did have compassion, and I hustled right over to Buck. Well, Betty was, she was there because Buck was still in the home. But the EMTs were already there and taking all the vital signs. She was okay. But she just woke up with a kind of a tingling in her leg and just felt a little limp and gimpy. And so they took all the vital signs and said, no, your pressure, everything counted. Everything they tested her for was okay. And so they left, and I stayed a while. And I got some other things I need to do. If I called her back an hour and a half later, she was just fine. Of course, she's good to go now. So just okay. But compassion. Yeah, sometimes you have to leave your coffee and go. And go. Yeah, so that's hard lot in life. Number three is love as brethren. Love, I put the same definition when I think of love. It's, I know it's real concise and just a single sentence, but words and actions that seek the best of another. If you're in love with someone, you're going to seek, your words and actions will seek the best for them when you love. It's an expressive attitude, again, that says, you know, how can I help you? Let me get that for you. What do you need? You know, because of our love for one another. It's second mile Christianity. It's doing more than expected. It's doing what's expected, then adding a little more. That's love. And in our fellowship, the phrase is, let's love as brethren. That's a brotherhood. That's our definition of fellowship. As family. That's what our love should look like. Number four, be pitiful. Now, years ago, I was reading this verse, and kidding, Jim, I know that came to your mind right away. But I was reading this verse, I said, Jim, you've got this one down. You are already pitiful. Work on the others. The other qualities that are in the verse. So Jim Carrey, he worked that thing, and he said, I'm just pitiful. I am pitiful. But the word is be. Show pity toward others, not be pitiful in that sense. So it means good-heartedness, having a heart full of affection. You have pity in your life for others, it means that you are very caring. You will render pity, being tender-hearted toward others. James 5, verse 11, behold, we count them happy which endure. You've heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful, and of tender mercy. allowed Paul to make visits. And what's interesting about that is in Acts 24, verse 23, 2 years earlier, it says, and he, Felix, and when Paul appeared before Felix, Felix commanded a centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or come to him. Remember, Felix heard Paul preach and said, you know, when I have a convenient season, I'll call for you. And he put Paul in bonds, and Paul stayed in bonds for 2 years. But yet still, that charge, that command of Felix, the centurion was there, and here he is still with Paul 2 years later. Said, oh, that's right, Paul, I need to be courteous to you. So I'm going to let you see your friends. Remained in effect. Number six is blessing. Blessing. And that just, by your notes, even the verse itself, what blessing looks like. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrary-wise, the opposite. But blessing are we supposed to give? It means to speak well of. Where blessing means to praise. In the Beatitudes, the phrase is, you'll be happy, or to make happy, to congratulate. The idea, if you're going to give someone a blessing, you're going to give them something that will be of benefit. Hopefully it's something that they will enjoy, perhaps something that's needful for their sake. We want to be a blessing. The word, the idea in Romans 12, verse 17, recompense to no man evil for evil. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 15, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow after that which is good among both among yourselves and to all men. Wow. So when someone treats us badly, don't become like them and become a bad boy. Cop show. Bad boys, bad boys. They deserve to be arrested. The cops are after them. So we want to be a blessing to one another. Then the close. Knowing that ye are thereunto called. That's the goal. And when we do these things, that which we want to be to others will come back to us. The phrases, and we will inherit a blessing or be made happy. Enjoy it. Interesting. Sometimes you come across something that's right on your lesson plan. I'll close with this. Again, it's an article by Taylor McKinsey from the front page of this bulletin. He uses the verse that I just used right here. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. His title of this article is, you could be a, in quote, miracle for somebody. It's kind of the summary of the lesson today. At the conclusion of a week-long prayer and Bible study conference, the participants were asked to write their assessments of their time together. Well, one person wrote, my drive to succeed had controlled my life. In fact, my desire to be successful was so intense that I was losing touch with reality. Clearly, I was missing out on life. So, I came to this prayer and Bible study retreat looking for an answer. I came here looking for some direction or miracle. What I have discovered is that the real miracles are the miracles of the people. Miracles are found, and here was his definition of miracles. Miracles are found in the way people speak to each other, their willingness to share themselves with each other, the way they listen to each other, the way they express their concern for each other. End of his little note. So Brother McKinsey continued, clearly, the above observation should characterize us as our Lord's disciples, which means we should be people persons by connecting with people. Right. We need to be people persons. It says, but when our focus is primarily on ourselves, we'll miss the miracle of people. Bless you.
Thank you.
And in Philippians 2, verse 4, don't think only about our own affairs, but be interested in others too and what they are doing. Given the above meaning for a miracle, all of us can
McKenzie.
McKenzie translation. One big happy family. So this is really a commentary, isn't it? A paraphrase. They're full of sympathy toward each other, loving one another with tender hearts and humble minds. It will be a blessing unspeakable when all of us are willing to be a miracle for somebody else. So that's this evening. Again, next week, I'll give you a summary of I'm going to try to tie all the verses together. Let me take 2 weeks. Three? No, all I'm going to do, I'm going to give you an outline, and I'll give you, I'll just give you a quick blurb of just the phrase one another in the scripture reference, and then I'm just, I think, after I'm going to type out the whole verse in my notes, and then I'll just give you one sentence summary of each one another. At least that's my intent. I've got to type up here. So that'll be the summary of the all the one another verses. There's about, and we're a little over 40. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, a song of invitation. Say a song of encouragement because it's encouraging you if you need to respond to obeying the gospel. Now is the time. If you want to ask brethren for strength or encouragement or ask prayers for something in your life, now is the time to do that. So it's also a song of invitation, saying, why not now, why not tonight? So if you're subject to that invitation, please come as we're singing this song. So let's stand together.